ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ द members of the ILS festival that is taking place, our leadership seminars, and I've been asked to give class on the theme that I'm not so versed on, not that I'm versed on many themes, but on leadership, and this was the verse that was given to us, very well-known verse from fifth canto. I remember when fifth canto came out, this fifth chapter was one of the ones that devotees were very fond of learning and memorizing. So, here Shukadev or Maharaj Rishabhdev is speaking in the following way to his sons. Gurur na satsyat svajano na satsyat Pita na satsyat janani na satsyat Daivam na tasyan na patis na chasasyan Namo chayetya samupetya mrityum Gurur na sasyat, svajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, daivam na tatsyat, na patish na sasyan, namo chayetya samupita mrityum, bit of a tongue twister. Guru na satsyat, svajano na satsyat, pitan na satsyat, Namo Chaitya Samupita Mrityum Guru Na Satsyat Svajano Na Satsyat Pita Na Satsyat Janani Na Satsyat Dharam Na Satsyat Na Patishya Satsyat Guru na satsyat, svajano na satsyat, pita na satsyat, janani na satsyat, daivam na tatsyam, na patishya satsyam, satsyat, janani na satsyat,
daivam na satsyat, na
Guru, a spiritual master. Na, not. Sa, he. Syat, should become. Swajana, a relative. Na, not. Sa, such a person. Syat, should become. Pita, a father. Na, not. Sa, he. Syat, should become. Janani, a mother. Na, not. Sa, she. Syat, should become. Daivam, the worshipable deity. Na, not. Tat, that. Syat, should become. Na, not. Pati, a husband. Cha, also. Sa, he. Syat, should become. Na, not. No chayet, can deliver. Ya, who? Samupet amrityum, one who is on the path of repeated birth and death. Translation. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Please repeat. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. And here is a purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhdev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of repeated birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Chaktva deham punarjanma naitimam epi soarjana. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chame divyam evam jobeti tatvataha. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhdev's instructions. Sukacharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Sukacharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Lord, Supreme Lord, advises in Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat achivoshi, dadashi yat, yat tapasyasi kunti, yat tat kurusva, madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer, and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the Brahmins who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father, and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother. Janani nasa syat. The word daivam indicates a demigod or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or a superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative. But here Rishabhdev forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple, or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. Om Jnana Timiram Dasya Jnanam Janasalakaya Chakshuru Militam Dina Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Here the context, and then you just keep in mind that the theme is meant to be about leadership and the qualities, responsibilities of leaders, for this is a very appropriate and a very generic verse, generic in the sense that it talks about all levels of leadership, all levels of leaders. Maharaj Rishabhdev and his sons are in Brahmavarta, and the Lord is giving instruction here, and in the previous verses, he is emphasizing the futility of fruitive activities and the validity of devotional service is actually the only means of perfection. There are many wonderful verses, and in the previous verse, I'll just read, the Lord's describing the nature of a materialistic person, in other words, that person who delivers, who deserves deliverance. Due to ignorance, the materialistic person does not know anything about his real self-interest, the auspicious path in life. He is simply bound to material enjoyment by lusty desires, and all his plans are made for this purpose. For temporary sense gratification, such a person creates a society of envy, and due to this mentality, he plunges into the ocean of suffering. Such a foolish person does not even know about this. If someone is ignorant and addicted to the path of samsara, how can one who is actually learned, merciful, and advanced in spiritual knowledge engage him in fruitive activity, and thus further entangle him in material existence? If a blind man is walking down the wrong path, how can a gentleman allow him to continue on his way to danger? How can he approve this method? No wise or kind man can allow this. And then, one who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. And I'm just looking, I recognized earlier, so I believe, if I'm correct, this is also a statement which is found in Manu Samhita. And because here, this particular verse is placed in quotation marks. And the other verses are not. In any case, the real bottom line as to what leadership and guidance is about is being given here, is that ultimately one must be able to make others Krishna conscious. If we cannot bring one to the path of devotional service, which then is the path that ends samsara, then one should not be in any position of leadership, which more or less means one should not do anything or take any type of responsibility in this world. Because here, it's not just about guru, but it's about leader, leader, namely, say, for instance, a political leader, or a father, or a husband, or even a demigod. In other words, a demigod should give up their positions if they are not able to bring one to the path of perfection. What does it mean to deliver a dependent? Here Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that it means to give them devotional service. Similarly, I looked up Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, and his is also is that unless one can give bhakti, if someone cannot actually give bhakti, if one cannot give pure devotional service, then one should not take the responsibility. And Srila Prabhupada concludes here, he says, all these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent. That was not what I... Oh yes. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself in the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. That ocean of reproachment is termed in very simple language by Chakravarti Thakur as being sin. In other words, it's a sin. It's a sin if one takes responsibility and yet one cannot fulfill responsibility to another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very general way, has given the order, Amara Agya Guru, that everyone should be guru. And here we see that regardless of what situation one takes up, what type of responsibility one adopts, whether it be a family responsibility, a social responsibility, a spiritual responsibility, more or less everybody's in the same category. Of course, it may be that they're being viewed differently or they have a different type of relationship, but the bottom line is that the ultimate purpose and goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. And those who take responsibility for someone else are meant to know this and meant to facilitate that. They're meant to give the opportunity for others to take to the path of devotional service. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amara Agya, which is a very weighty statement, he's saying this is my order. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna never gives an order. In fact, he says, do whatever you want to do. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving an order, which means that it's a very weighty instruction. And he said, it's my order that you become guru. And of course, what is guru? Guru is someone who's giving devotional service, who's giving bhakti, who's planting bhakti lata bhij, who's planting that seed of devotional service. So, Bhavanda Brahmite, we're wandering throughout the universe, but as Srila Prabhupada also points out, for instance, the children who take birth in the family of devotees, their wandering isn't coincidental that they're taking birth in the family of devotees, but it's actually in the same way as one comes in contact, one is fortunate enough, Guru, Krishna, Prasadi, Pai, one is fortunate by Krishna's grace to come in contact with Guru. Similarly, one comes in contact with a good parent, a good mother, a good father, and then of course the good mother, father, friend. Very interesting that Chakravarti Thakur says if you become a friend of someone just to be his friend, but not because you're going to actually deliver or give them Krishna consciousness or exchange Krishna consciousness, he says, then you're sinful. It's a good platform for friendship, obviously, Krishna consciousness. Bodhanta parasparam katantasamam nitya tushyanticha ramanticha. Coincidentally, this morning I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's conversation in Delhi, 1973. And the latter part of the conversation was very interesting. It was all about Srila Prabhupada's days, pharmaceutical days, when he was a pharmacist and he was speaking of himself in very humorous terms. He was saying, yes, when Bengal Chemical offered me a job, I was very arrogant, I was very puffed up. I wanted my terms, and when they didn't give me my terms, I wouldn't accept them. The beginning part seems to be that Srila Prabhupada was displeased. He is displeased with what was transpiring over there at the temple because devotees were spending all day and all night maintaining the temple. And he says, but if you're not coming together for satsang, if you're not chanting and hearing together, if you're not cultivating your own Krishna consciousness, he says, then your karma is. He says, you're working hard, but the consciousness will not be there, the right consciousness will not be there, if actually the exchange is not based on Krishna consciousness and is not based on this principle, how to nurture each other's bhakti lata beach. And it's sometimes something that one may observe that in our Krishna consciousness movement, we do spend a lot of time preaching about how important it is to hear about Krishna and talk about Krishna and so on, and yet we don't necessarily spend so much time hearing about Krishna and talking about Krishna. Recently we had just before I came to India, a leadership seminar for the Hungarian Yatra. The leaders, there are about 60 the senior devotees there who are in leadership positions, and refreshingly, we weren't talking about any problems or any management or any other issues, but the whole theme was how to become more faithful and more knowledgeable, more devoted to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's instructions. And that was 3 full days. And the third day, the first 2 days, we had debates on topical issues based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings. And the third day was just to actually, Niranjan Swami Maharaj was also there. He was speaking with the English-speaking Hungarians. I was speaking with the Hungarian-speaking Hungarians. And the last day, we sort of incorporated something which I'd learned, or at least heard of, from Keshav Bharti Swami Maharaj, who in Bhaktivedanta Ashram in Govardhan, what they usually do during the month of Kartik is they spend about 6 hours a day just reading. Devotees together, groups of devotees, and they hear and chant, they go systematically through certain books, they stop at a certain point, devotees talk, exchange, analyze a verse, and then they go on like that. They nurture each other's Krishna consciousness. So we did the same thing for one day. We just took Tesham Satataya Yuktanam, a verse from Bhagavad Gita, and we're just analyzing that verse. Actually, someone who's also very expert at this is Krishna Dharma and Chintamani Dham in the UK. We've had nice time sitting and discussing like that. And it was very interesting. For the morning, we never got past the Sanskrit. So we're just, the devotees were analyzing Sanskrit, and it was really quite amazing. It was very enlivening. And then in the afternoon, we got to the word for word, and we got as far as the translation and a little bit of Srila Prabhupada's purport. But the feedback that I got from that was that this was worth more than so many other leadership seminars and so on, to just go deeply into Lord Krishna's words, to go into Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and as Prabhupada says, to examine his books from all different angles of vision. And of course, it's not that leadership doesn't mean that one does not require training. We have many great examples of leaders. Of course, our most immediate best example of a leader is Srila Prabhupada himself. For instance, the Pandavas, despite the fact that they may have been associates of the Lord, that they're already great personalities, and they're certainly very Krishna conscious, but still they went through so much training as to actually how to put that, how to get across Krishna consciousness in a most viable, practical way, as Maharaj Yudhisthira is a king, and then I can't remember who was, but I I think Arjun ended up being the treasurer after the war, and they took different roles, different responsibilities. But even while they were in the Himalayas, before they actually came to Hastinapur, they were in training, and after that they were under training. But the substance of the training is what it is that they're actually communicating. And we're not just simply communicating systems, we're not just communicating words, but these are actually vehicles for giving across the wonderful message of Bhagavad Gita. How to actually become pure devotees. And when one does that, then one becomes very glorious. Just a slight divergence. Just recently when I was in the UK and I was either I was giving class or I was speaking with Dhananjaya Prabhu, our godbrother, and he cited one instance in Vrindavan when devotees were sitting there with Srila Prabhupada in his room, and sort of out of the blue, Prabhupada started saying, "You may all leave, the presidents may fall down, the GBCs may fall down, the pujaris may fall down, the book distributors may leave." And everyone was thinking, what's going on? Where is this all leading to? The Prabhupada said, but the books are already out there, and therefore, I don't know if exactly quoting where the poison is already set or the damage has been done, and someone will come and they will start it again, but I want all of you to take the glory. And I want you to get the recognition from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a wonderful opportunity that Srila Prabhupada has actually given us, and it's not that difficult thing. As Srila Prabhupada would often say, just repeat what you've heard. What we've heard here from Srimad Bhagavatam, what we hear from Bhagavad Gita, all of the wonderful teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us, all in order to be better sannyasis, better parents, better gurus, or maybe we should start with real sannyasis, real parents, real gurus, and then once you're real, then you can get better. So that our intent is really to transmit that message of pure devotional service, with which ultimately namo chetta samupetam rityum, how do you end the cycle of birth and death? The Prabhupada here says the only way you end it is by going back to Godhead. And the purpose, I think, of our leadership sangha, the purpose why Srila Prabhupada wanted us to come here in Mayapur and chant together and hear together glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just to strengthen this amongst ourselves as friends, as acquaintances, as relatives, as disciples, as bridge, whatever roles that we may have. And when that becomes a very strong communal bond, as Srila Prabhupada, or in the previous verse, it was stated in the same way as ignorant people create a society, it's very interesting, create a society of envy. And Srila Prabhupada in his last days was saying, this is the perfect society. No envy, no party spirit, only one goal, that is praising Krishna and going back home, back to Godhead. Anyway, I'll stop there. Or other Vaishnavas would like to make any further comments or questions before we start our first day of the leadership sangha.
I have a question. What is the basic difference between a Brahmana leader who leads people and a Kshatriya leader who administers a project like building the new temple? Because it seems like to build the leader of a temple project is not the same as taking the people out of samsara.
But the motive is the same. Why are we building this temple? And those who are participating in that construction, what are we reminding them? That here we're building this Adbhuta Mandir, which will make millions of people Krishna conscious, And certainly will become Krishna conscious by participating in that project. So, I don't know whether the builders are necessarily in the category of Kshatriyas. There may be so many things. There are Vaishnavas doing some particular role. But what is the underlying purpose of everything? Anyavilashita shunyam. So what is the anyavilashita? What is the underlying purpose? And if that underlying purpose is clear in whatever we do, whether I'm cooking or I'm cleaning the street, then namo cheta samapetya mrityu. And we're being reminded of that, then we're doing our duty in a position of responsibility.
Maharaj, thank you for a very enlightening class. You made one statement, after you quoted Amaragya Guru Tari Desh, that this is an order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this is very significant. And then you said that Krishna doesn't actually order in the Bhagavad Gita, that he says you take the seat of Thakuru. But there are so many verses where he gives, you know, manmana, babamanmakto. So he is simply giving an order. And although Lord Chaitanya is certainly using that word, he doesn't use that word agya in the Bhagavad Gita. But the implication is a living entity can also disobey that order. How does Krishna not actually give orders in the Bhagavad Gita?
Well, this is not saying I'm ordering you, but rather he's certainly saying, yes, this is what you should do. And first he's giving an alternative different things that you could do. But ultimately, sarva guyatamam, this is the best thing to do. But they teach you see the Thakuru. And then, I just wanted to emphasize that point that yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accompanies this instruction with a very clear thing. This is an order which, yeah, you can choose to obey or disobey, but recognize that this is no longer optional. This is a very strong, emphatic statement by the Lord. And so Prabhupada would say, yes, saving your own country, what does it mean? He'd say, save your family, save your village. Prabhupada would say, save your family. So guru actually means father is guru, mother is guru. Ultimately, brothers and sisters then become guru. It's a very all-encompassing order, especially, of course, for those who've come to Krishna consciousness. Radharani Swami Maharaj.
I think one of the differences is that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives so many alternatives through karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and then he says at the end, you should give this all up and surrender to me. But still the other options are there. But finally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, in this age, there's no other alternative but to chant Hare Krishna and spread the Sankirtan movement. Anything else won't work in this age.
Thank you. This gentleman over here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As it's mentioned, that as you mentioned in your class, that it is sinful if one is unable to deliver his dependence, and if he takes the position of leadership. But we see examples of how even despite having a qualified leader, the dependents may choose not to practice the personal bhakti. And on the other hand, if even sometimes certain leaders, all they can do is just show the path. I mean, they're not actively giving much siksha or anything like that, but still the dependents actually become serious on the path of bhakti, go back to Godhead. So how much level of purity or and to what degree should the leader be able to deliver the dependents? I mean, like, is it enough if he just show the path, or should he be also on a certain stage where he can actually himself deliver the dependence? What does it mean?
The higher stage, the better. since the instruction is general and for everyone, the most elevated that someone is, I'll just read a previous verse, then at least the more depth and the more degree to which you can actually deliver and guide someone on the path of devotional service. In the 10th verse, when Lord Rishabhdev is speaking, he says, Hamse Guru Mayi, which Srila Prabhupada translates in the following way, O my sons, you should accept the highly elevated Paramahamsa as a spiritually advanced spiritual master. This is the best. This is the general rule of thumb. And why? Because as Prabhupada explains in the Upadeshamrita, then he can guide a disciple all the way through all stages of devotional service. That is already guaranteed. He's already on the Paramahamsa stage, so he guides him to the Paramahamsa stage. Nonetheless, whatever platform one may be on, still the duty is to repeat that same teachings that we've received, and by doing that, at least we're fulfilling our duty wherever we are. So, sthane sthita shukidata. Generally, Srila Prabhupada translates, yes, you don't have to go anywhere. Just hear about Krishna and engage others in hearing about Krishna. Similarly, sthita, where your position, it's also your particular position, whatever your spiritual position may be, but at least make sure that you understand what the basic principles of Krishna consciousness are, so that you can communicate them clearly to others. This note says 8:45. Kunteya Prabhu told me to go later. Any other devotees like to contribute? Here, or the emphasis we've been placing is on the leader, on the person who's accepting responsibility for someone else. But what about those who are the dependents? There's also an onus on them, obviously. Especially if you've got a good leader and you neglect to follow that good leader, well, to teach you see Tathaguru, but ultimately then you become subject to the laws of material nature, and you have to take a reaction for that. And of course, according to the level of commitment that you've already made. For instance, when we make a commitment to the disciplic succession through initiation, that's one type of thing. When we take from someone, when we also take from a superior, that taking is also a type of commitment. When a child takes from their parents. They're being raised and maintained. They're being fed and clothed and housed and so many other things. There's an obligation that comes with a dependent. Same thing if a citizen is also following the king. So they also have a responsibility. And quite some months ago I read Mahabharata, and it was very interesting how Yudhisthira Maharaj, even when he was leaving after they lost the gambling match. And the citizens, in short, they wanted to revolt. First thing, it was outrageous what Duryodhan had done, and it was even more outrageous that Dhritarashtra allowed such a thing to even take place. And Yudhisthira Maharaj says, no, if you love me, then you will follow the king, because the primary duty of the citizen is to follow the king. Now this king wasn't much of a king worth following, but necessarily the principle was also there, and therefore Yudhisthira Maharaj was emphasizing that point. And of course, in due course of time, those citizens got a king worthy of following, which was Yudhisthira Maharaj. Should we close there and let everyone take prasadam and prepare for the sangha? Thank you so much, and Hare Krishna.
Thank you.